Jesus, the suffering servant. Jesus, the high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses. Jesus didn't come to be served as an earthly king, but to serve others through love and mercy, even to the point of giving his life as a ransom for many, so many may attain the seat of honor in heaven. The readings of today tell us how we are to recognize the Messiah. The 3 points I started with is how the Father wants us to recognize the one whom he is sending, and how this person is to live, suffer, die, rise from the dead, ascend to heaven, and how we are to live as a result. Chapter 53 of Isaiah tells us of the suffering servant. In a way, God tells us where he comes from. For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. Jesus tells us, foxes have lairs, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. God goes on to explain even what his servant looks like. He had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. So do not judge by appearance. Most of the sons of Jesse were rejected. The prophet Samuel liked the looks of the older brothers, but only the youngest son, David, was pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. And God continues on how to recognize his servant. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. Isaiah continues with what we just heard, how the suffering servant freely accepted what God offered him, and how God would allow his servant to be bruised, make himself an offering for sin, and to bear our iniquities. Yet this suffering servant will see his offspring, us. This is why the author of Hebrews can tell us that we have someone who understands our own sufferings. The author of Hebrews tells us that the great high priest came from heaven and became one like us, except in sin. And how this great high priest suffered greatly, made himself a sacrifice, bore our sins. This is how he can sympathize with us, because he suffered for us. Yet this high priest, Jesus, by suffering, dying in our place because of our sins, can now ascend to his throne to offer his graces that we need to open our hard hearts to receive his mercy and accept his graces when we need them most. Now in our gospel, we have two examples, James and John, who have been with the Messiah for some time, have heard his teachings, and yet couldn't comprehend what he said or what he had to do. James and John, in fact, all of the apostles, couldn't grasp Jesus' full role as Messiah. They knew that Jesus came to do the will of the Father. They knew the part of his mission was to begin a new kingdom. They knew many other things, but couldn't grasp the essential. Jesus came to earth not to build an earthly kingdom, but to suffer, die, and then rise to prepare a new and heavenly kingdom that he will establish for them and for us. James and John wanted permission from Jesus to be the chosen ones who would be sitting at his right and left. These are places not just of honor, but power and authority. If you noticed, Jesus didn't answer them at first. He asked them if they were able to suffer, not just a little, but like he would have to endure. He called it a baptism and being able to drink from the cup. What cup? What baptism? Wasn't Jesus already baptized? But he was referring to a very different kind of baptism and cup. Jesus, after he told his apostles many times, still failed to realize that he must suffer and die. The cup he refers to is the cup of extreme suffering, of being pierced through the heart. The baptism he must endure is a baptism of humility, hatred, cruelty, extreme abuse, then hang on Calvary's tree and die. It is a death most shameful and disgraceful. This is what Jesus is asking of James and John. Could they endure such treatment? Of course, they said they could. Yet Jesus said that they would indeed suffer. But as for the place to where they would be seated, that wasn't for him to give. Then Jesus goes to the heart of the question, authority and power. James and John were ambitious, as the others possibly were, but the two brothers were so bold as to ask outright if they could have the places of honor. Jesus explained that he didn't come so his apostles would have earthly power, but to serve as he did in all humility. They continued to believe that Jesus was going to conquer the Romans. They even believed right up to the time when Jesus ascended into heaven, when they said, "Will you now set up your kingdom on earth?" This is the reason Jesus taught about authority, both worldly and what God expects his servants to be. Worldly authority is often used to sow fear into the people, to keep them in line, so that there would be no cause for trouble. We know that this kind of authority does not work. Eventually, those in authority are thrown out, and hopefully, someone better is put in their place. But the apostles, in fact, all followers of Christ, are to serve in humility. He tells them, "Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servants. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all." And what of us? If we are true followers of Jesus, the Messiah, we must become servants, not just for God, but for each other. If we do not know what that means for each one of us, we need to ask Jesus for guidance, inspiration, and strength to follow through with the answer he gives you. Are you ready to be baptized like him? Are you ready to take the cup he offers?